Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, the Creative Mind series. And I'm so excited. I have Joe Solo, award-winning record producer, with me today. Joe, how are you?
Feeling great. Happy to be here.
You know what? I have to tell you, I love the interview I saw you do with Brandon Jay, because I really got take-home points out of it. And I love that because you have so many accolades, which we will talk about later. But I love your devotion to education and service and inspiration. So thank you.
Oh, you bet. And I got something really big to announce by the end of the show, or at the end of the show, with regards to that.
Oh, I love those teasers.
Yeah.
So tell us, like, what does it take to produce a record? I think people always see sort of the glamorous side, and, you know, we see the total glamour, but there's a lot that goes behind it. So much resiliency and so much like connection and so much like trials and errors, so many trials and errors.
Yeah. I wouldn't classify it as a glamorous process. It's more like you're inside an audio laboratory. You're a mad scientist, you know, experimenting, trying to find sounds and vibes that people can latch onto, yet are also new, so it's fresh and not like the same old sound. And then part of my job is to help the artist create a signature sound for them if they're like a new artist, or if it's like their first record, because that sound will grow to define everything musically about how they are received and perceived by the audience. And it has to be a sound that's unique, but at the same time, not so wildly unrelatable that no one's going to get it.
You know what's interesting? I am working on a children's EP, and we talked about the concept of your soul signature. So it's like your vibrational frequency, and it's so multidimensional. And so take us through the process of when someone comes to you and what it's like, and how do you get to know them to have like the before and after of something that has the wow factor?
Well, yeah, you just said the key word is getting to know them, and both, that's both musically in terms of their past and where they are now and where they see themselves going musically. And then you have to get to know them as people as well, because the songs that are written are based on their experiences or observations or, you know, thoughts. And so you have to kind of understand their worldview a little bit. And then the other thing is you're going to spend so...
Pause. Oh. Can I have a universe geek moment?
Anytime.
So here we go. What you just said, and this is why I have such a connection to you and respect for you, is I like to talk about we all process and perceive information in our own unique way, and that's multidimensional. So what you just encapsulated is that process that, like, it's like all the different awareness levels of the way someone thinks, what inspires them, and then the sound vibe that they want to kind of present to you, and then you together have this like resonance that's hard to put into words.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to get on each other's wavelength. You have to get in flow together. You have to be in sync. And you also have to trust is the main thing. Because, A, they're trusting me to take, you know, these precious songs that are like a piece of their soul and hand it over to me to help recraft them as needed, as a professional record that is meant to hopefully be some art combination of an artistic and commercial success. And so getting to know them and their music is really the first part of the process. And usually the first time I meet an artist, they bring some demos of their songs so I can get to know the songs with my ears. And it gives me an idea, and then we'll go and do any necessary restructuring of the order of the parts. Or a lot of times maybe an artist comes to me, they haven't come up with a bridge section yet, because good bridges are tough to write. And maybe I'll do some writing on the song as well. We'll end up being co-writers. It just, whatever the song and the recording needs to be, you know, as reasonably great as it can, we're going to make those changes ahead of time to the basic structure and lyric of the song. And that's changes as needed. If the song comes in like perfectly arranged and perfectly written, I'm not going to touch a single thing on it. You know, the goal is to make it great, not for me to get my fingers in it and put my little stamp on it.
I love that. And that's truly what a true expert or master is, because if you have, you know, I've seen 40,000 hours of patients, you know, if someone comes to me, their level of what they're experiencing emotionally is going to be different than someone else's. And so when you are coming and meeting someone, you're listening to their vibe, you're looking at their style, you're looking at where they're at in their career, you're looking at what they're, where they're wanting to go. So you're in the moment of the now with them, but you're also have all the context around it.
Exactly.
And I feel like from getting to know you off show, I know that Joe Solo is all about less is more. You like to really, and that comes with high level of expertise. So you want the bada bing, bada bang, wow factor, but you want to really be mindful of what actually ends up being the finished product in every way.
Yeah, because you're putting all these little pieces of a puzzle together, sort of like a musical puzzle, and they all have to fit together perfectly, each and every one of them. Well, maybe not perfectly, but very well, to create that final finished puzzle. And what I did so that people could get a real good idea of what a seasoned producer brings to a project and to an artist's career is I brought some before and after recordings.
Yay, so I love that.
Like the demo that they brought to the first meeting is the before, and I'll play like 30 seconds of that, and then I'll play like 30 seconds of the final product that was produced, and you know, the big beautiful sounding pro quality final master version. And
hopefully you wanted to play that off your computer. Do you need me to hit pause to get ready, or are we ready to rock?
Go ahead and do that and then I'll be ready.
Okay, great. I'm so excited. Go for it.
All right, here's the before.
I know it's breaking your heart to see me walking away. Our lives are ripping apart. The hole is bigger each day. It hurts, but I have to go. I walk alone, wrong or right. Will I come back? I don't know. I think I'm done with this fight. I think I'm done with this fight. I cry myself to sleep, knowing you're not here with me. I cry myself to sleep, and it's all I can do just to breathe.
All right, so there's like a verse and a chorus of the demo that the artist, whose name is Christy Nava, brought to me. And here's the master. And this is actually... was just released a couple days ago.
Here's how exciting. Here's
the after. And thank you. All right, here we go. All right.
I know it's breaking your heart to see me walking away. Our lives are ripping apart. Come back, I don't know. done with this fight. I think I'm done with this fight.
I cry myself to sleep, knowing you're not here with me. I cry myself to sleep, and it's all I can do.
All right, and there's the after. Now, one thing that might be a little confusing is this is actually, we decided to do it as a male-female duet. So on that first chorus, they come together on the next ones, but yeah.
Can I just, as a non-musician, just say, I listened to the first, and when I listened to the second, what I loved is I felt a story. The way the initial part of the after started with her crisp and clear voice, I felt you could hear her voice and that she was like alone. And then it just built like an amazing series of emotions, and there was so much added. And then it was just bridging and what you were saying, then it was telling the story. And then when the duet happened, it just made it so clear. So it was not only the music excellence, the crispness, all the instruments, but I felt like I was there with them, with the feelings and the intentions of the music. So it's amazing.
Awesome. Thank you. Here, let me play a couple more before and afters. And
perfect.
Let's try something maybe.
By the way, are you excited? That's congratulations on that being released.
Yeah, thanks.
It's like, woohoo.
for a song like that, we probably spent 150, 175 hours on the one song. It gets really big at the end.
That's what people do not understand.
Yeah, a lot of people think you just go in and throw it down really quick. If it's a 4-minute song, maybe you'll knock it out in an hour, but that would be like trying to shoot a feature film in a day when it actually takes 2 years and a crew of 200 people. You know, there's just so much more to the process than people realize. And
I love that you're saying that. And I really want to shout out to everyone, because I'm in this stage of new creativity and I feel so like honored to know you, Joe. So let's keep going. But there's some things and projects that I want to, as we're getting to know one another, do together. And it's just so exciting to just be a part of the show and tell. So show us another one.
All right. Here's a little one, a little bit on the heavier side of the stylistic spectrum. This is a song called Trust, and here's the demo that they brought in. So there's a good 30, 45 seconds of the before, and here's the after.
Trust anyone, I don't trust myself.
as the after.
I love it.
And this is just coming out of my little laptop speakers. You know, if we're playing these out of the studio monitors or even just a regular set of headphones, whatever, I think your listeners would hear the full fidelity, but hopefully you hear a difference anyway.
No, I absolutely do. And I feel like you and I are like playing. That's what's so fun about being creative. Like, okay, Joe, put another dime in the jukebox, baby. So how many hours did it take for that one, that particular beautiful?
Well, on average, this is just in mathematical average. Well, all averages are mathematical averages. But on average, it takes about 125 hours from the beginning of the process to the end of the process to make one broadcast quality finished master of a song, a single song.
Wow. So
the full record, you're looking at around, 1,400 hours of work. And, wow. And that's the other reason why I really like to get to know the person I'm potentially going to be stuck in the studio for 1,400 hours with. I gotta like him as a person. If I'm gonna commit those kind of hours to being in an intimate process in the same room for so many hours.
Okay. So now I'm smiling because you had a lot more than hours spent with Macy Gray. Tell us about that experience and that wild ride. I think. We love that the before and afters, but that's a real unbelievable relationship and story and manifestation.
Well, I met her. This is in like 1985.
Yeah.
I had just moved to Los Angeles from a city called Shaker Heights in Ohio, which is like outside of Cleveland.
Go Midwest. We're both from the Midwest, by the way, everyone. Joe and I. Go ahead.
So she was a cashier at this restaurant called Larry Parker's Beverly Hills Diner. And I was paying my bill. And just out of the blue, she's like, "Hey, are you a musician?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I produce and I play guitar and piano and a bunch of instruments and I write songs." And she's like, "Are you any good?" I'm like, "Well, I came out here to be a driving force in the music industry, so I hope so." And she's like, "Well, I'm a singer and we should work together." Like, just like that. Out of the completely out of the blue. And I'm thinking, okay.
That's a wow moment.
Trippy lady with the wild voice that sounds like a whisper, is just suggesting, "Hey, let's work together." So I figured, okay, let's check this out. Maybe it's an opportunity. So I'm like, "Well, sure, let's get together tomorrow. We'll have a little pizza, get to know each other, and then we'll go in the studio and take it from there." And so that's what we did. And she went into the vocal booth, which at the time I was just starting to build my studio. So the vocal booth is just really a fancy euphemism for bathroom. for vocals, <thing. laughs> anyway,
oh my gosh.
So she goes in the quote unquote vocal booth and she starts warming up. And I'm listening in the other room behind the mixing desk. And I'm just like, for whatever reason, I'm just like getting it. And after a few minutes, I stop the music and I hit the talk back mic and I say, "Could you come out here for a second? I want to talk to you." And she comes out and she's like, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I will right now in this exact moment commit to being your producer, your musical partner, your co-writer, live show musical director, whatever it takes and however long it takes to be successful. I will stick and I will stay." And it took 17 years.
Wow.
But I made the commitment in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes in, like that, and so did Macy.
No, so did she. What did it feel like? I mean, there must like the spark and the connection and the knowingness, of the devotion to each other's sound, everything. It's like hard to put into words. I mean, that's like super exciting. That's an aha moment, and it's also resiliency to infinite. I mean, 17 years. Wow.
I didn't know it was going to take 17 years at the time, but, I had just moved out here. I was just starting out in LA. So it wouldn't take 17 years for me to develop somebody now. But
of course, we
went through multiple record deals that didn't get released, and multiple, all kinds of different styles and sounds, even within just a certain radio friendly structure. And what occurred to me is that she has this soulfulness, but the vibe and the sound of her voice and the lyrics, the meaning of the lyrics that she comes up with, would work better on a pop radio, in a pop radio place, than maybe in an R&B place or an urban station or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of blended both the soulful, funky vibe with a little bit more of a pop radio vibe. And that's what we came up with, and which kind of makes, well, like, I think it makes sense, sonically, and more importantly, just the feeling. Like when you hear her music, you get a certain feeling, or you hear any artist, you get a certain feeling. That's why you listen to that artist. And hopefully the lyrics are something that you can relate to, because, and now here's the key takeaway, all you budding music industry professionals out there. And the key takeaway is that, there's really three of them. The song is king. You got to have, you know, a very well written song. And the vibe is very important. Like, for example, if we're in the studio and the singer belts out like a technically pitch perfect take,
mm-hmm.
there's no vibe, it's sterile, it feels lifeless, or like maybe in that particular moment, that particular take, they haven't injected as much passion into it as I know they're capable of, that kind of thing. But I'll mirror that back to them, just like a coach in a sports team will mirror back to a player, you know, this is what you're doing. If you try this, why don't you try this and see if you get better results? You know, and we try different vibes and experiment with all kinds of things, and we record them all, and then I don't decide in that moment what to use, but come back on another day when I'm fresh and I have perspective, and then I piece edits together of all the most appropriate parts to make kind of one ultimate take.
I love that. I'm just listening, you know, to the whole process. Like,
you listen to a song, you're probably listening to anywhere between 1 and 200 vocal takes that have been edited together. Or in some cases, the singer is just so prepared and ready that they knock it out in 2 or 3 takes, and I have a lot less editing to do and a lot less decision-making to make because it came from the source well. But when you're experimenting a lot and when you're creating a signature sound out of thin air, you know, the experimentation will yield very cool results because you're pushing the envelope of what your creativity is. And if you're doing it together, you've got three sets of creativity: yours, the artist's, and then what is the combination of that?
Right. And then I'm thinking everything that your soul brings to the table, their soul, their ancestors. So there's like this cultural diversity. It's so multidimensional. And I'm also just wanting to let you know, one of the reasons why I started this series is so many people, you know, I live in Manhattan Beach and I see so many creative types in my practice that are highly gifted, whether it's in the arts, music, acting, fashion, comedy. Mm-hmm. And I find from a mental wellness standpoint that when we're in our creative zone, we're our most happiest. And I can just feel your passion and your happiness. And I really appreciate you sharing this. And also, you love to educate. You're really passionate about educating and with humility. You know, I know you like to just like deliver tips and tools on shows. And I really appreciate the befores and afters. But can you tell us a little bit about a couple things? One, the exciting kind of way you were honored in 2019, and maybe we can then segue into how that's inspiring you for your next exciting moves that are happening in real time.
Yeah, there's an organization called the Youth Academy Awards, which is exactly what it sounds like. And in 2019, they gave me a Vanguard Award, which is sort of like the, you know, you get this for your overall contribution to music and to helping people learn about how to be successful in music and that kind of thing. So yeah, it was very cool.
Are you someone that can take a compliment? I know some people have troubles. Can I give you a compliment right now?
I'll take all the compliments you want to give, my friend.
So one thing I love about Joe, everyone, is that I've gotten to know him outside of this interview, but also I've watched other interviews. And I feel like, Joe, you have been raised in a family system that talks about abundance, a win-win, integrity, education, marketing, creativity. And maybe we could do a nice pause and you can maybe honor who inspired you as a child or how that evolution of the abundant mindset of Joe Solo came to be.
Oh, I can tell you directly. It all came from my dad. That's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of person he was. Very positive and always looking for solutions and looking for the win, win, win. And he also was a really amazing ragtime piano player,
like
Scott Joplin, the Entertainer, and that kind of stuff. He knew music well.
I didn't know that. That's such a fun fact. I love that.
And just like a little tangential fun fact, his mom and dad and their 11 brothers and sisters were all a traveling entertainment troupe back in the vaudeville days, on the vaudeville circuit.
Oh my gosh, how much fun. I wish we could like just both you and I, like if we had a time travel machine, you and I could just hit a button and go there now and watch them. That'd be so much fun.
That would be cool.
So
like when I told him, when I was like, I was coming back from like the first semester of college, I went to school in New York and I came back for break. And I was like, you know what? I really want to go for it in music. I could always go back to school if I need to. Yeah, right. Like, I'm going to do that. Okay. So, you know, and my folks were just like, yeah, go for it. You know, carry on the family tradition of entertainment, that kind of thing. And when I got out here to LA, I really had no idea what I was doing within the industry. And now I wish I had someone like me to mentor who I was back then. I probably could have saved 10 years of trial and error on my career. So when I got to a certain point a few years ago, I decided to start a business, basically mentoring people on a large scale on how to break through in music. And then after that awards show, the people who put it on, we were like, you know, you're really deeply connected in film and TV. I am, but only on the music side, not on the acting side or the directing side or all the other things that it takes to put on productions like that. And maybe we should consider some ideas on how we could work together. And then it occurred to me, if I take the same model I had set up for music and just widened the palette across a whole range of entertainment industry sectors, then we could help a lot more people. And so I founded a thing called the Hollywood Creative Academy. The Hollywood Creative Academy.
HCA is in the house. HCA, go ahead.
And so we mentor and train people on how to be successful in music, film and TV, in the fashion industry, and in tech/gaming. Because all these areas do converge. They do come together. And we're getting ready to release our first products within the next month or two. And what they are we've taken top experts who are working in these industries, and we've hired them to be our experts to help coach and mentor people. So all the information you're getting is like up to the moment, current. and how it really is behind the scenes and what you really need to do and to think about and to know, and even, or not even, but probably most important, what kind of character you have just as a person. Big components into being successful in the entertainment industry, because you're working intimately with people, and all you really have at the end of the day is your reputation. So character counts. In fact, making it could be viewed as a competition between you and yourself to continually be a better version of who you are, both as an artist and as a person.
Oh, now, let me translate. I'm like smiling. This is why I met.
Let me translate that into like a practical example. Let's say you're playing your music and you want to get some feedback from people. So you play for a bunch of people, and let's say half of them say, hey, that chorus is just perfect. The other half go, hey, the song's great, but you got to change the chorus. Well, with something like that, that can be explained as people have different tastes, right? But let's say, and you may or may not make a change, but let's say, you know, 9 out of 10 people are like, you know, the song is great, but then when it gets to the chorus, it kind of gets weaker, and maybe you should strengthen that up in some way. If you have to put your ego down as the artist and pay attention to a 90% number who's rendering an opinion, a lot of times artists' ego will come in and just say, well, they just don't get my music. You know, or my appeal is very select, or my sound is so new that they just don't get it yet, but they will once radio pounds it down them, you know, pounds it down their throat. So you have to learn to be like totally honest with yourself as to where you are, how you're coming across, how your music is coming across. And just remember, character counts.
No, I love that. And I think that, you know, I talk about kind of the universal truths in all my different shows, and I talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. So it's that give back component. And our very first on a series I did during the pandemic called The Ascension Show, we did different universal truths like Plato would define. Mm-hmm. And integrity was the very first one that we covered. So that is integrity with yourself and integrity towards others. So I feel like that's a big part of, you know, saving, like, I think there's pink flags and red flags and different conversations. I feel like you and Macy could probably write the most interesting book about the trials and tribulations and what it took to get to that point of the Grammy, right?
Well, yeah, I actually have started writing a book about how to make it in the music industry. And which is funny because there really is no like exact way to make it. If there was, we would all follow that formula. We'd all be big, rich rock stars. And of course, ultimately, then none of us would be big, rich rock stars because it'd be nothing special or unique. But each person's story or their path or their journey, their adventure, just like life, is different. So when I talk right about, you know, how to make it, a lot of it is what not to do.
Correct.
You know, correct. These are mistakes people have made historically over and over and over. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that, you know, these common mistakes aren't working.
So can I say something? I just envision like if you were to put a helmet on and I was to put a helmet on and we just bang our head against the wall. Mm-hmm. I think when we run into in any of our the creative arts or anything that we're doing, there's this concept of flow interruption. And also I like to talk about ascension, and I mm-hmm. like ascend through the medium you choose. And I think from a business perspective and integrity perspective, if you run across the same situations with groups of people in business or in the times when you're working together, you have to know how to stay in flow, and you have to know who's in the moral compass and when to say yes and when to say no and when to cut your losses. And I think sometimes when you're so connected to the end point and not just in the moment of now, you end up maybe staying and hanging it. I'm not saying resiliency isn't important, and in the years and years it takes to work with someone, you need to have adaptive versus restrictive perfectionism. But I think people make big mistakes when they actually, there's pink flags or red flags and you ignore those. I think that's
or don't even see them.
Yes.
Many don't see them. Here, I'll give you a good one. This is especially prevalent in Los Angeles.
Yes.
A lot of times people would like to appear more successful than they actually are. But what can happen is maybe you meet someone at a party or something like that. You're a producer. They're a singer. You don't sing. So you need someone like them. They need someone like you, like it was the case with Macy and I. All right. And but if both those parties are talking themselves up in a dishonest way, making themselves seem, you know, more further along the success path than they really are, they could waste a lot of time working together, thinking they're going to ride on the other person's coattails a little bit to help their career. And if you're Correct. Both thinking that, you might waste 6 months or a year until you find out, oh my God, this person really didn't have it going on all that much. And they'll find the same thing about you. So again, character integrity, it counts.
Yes. And I also was just going to say that I know during the pandemic, you have reached an amazing like renaissance time while you're doing your own version of what I'd say a moving meditation is with your walking. Can you talk about your, I feel like a lot of people, you know, we're talking about the music, but there's usually healthy habits that I find myself like I need to swim in the pool to be the best doctor mm-hmm. and the best producer and best host. Can you talk about some of your kind of new hacks that you've been doing and kind of where you're taking things like next level for your own health and also with HCA?
Yeah, when the pandemic hit, I had read somewhere that if you're grossly overweight, which I was at the time, I was 329 pounds. Thank you, late night studio pizzas for the last decade and a half. All right, so anyway, I'd read that you're 5 times more likely to die if you get coronavirus than if you're in a normal weight range. And that's really all I had to hear to realize, wow, I could be dead by like next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So, again, I made a commitment to myself to lose all my excess weight. And so I did that just by cutting out bread and sugar and taking anywhere between like 10 and 15 mile walks every single day.
Wow.
And,
that is
and over,
so inspiring.
Over the year and a half of the pandemic, I lost 93 pounds.
And
I feel like this is kind of ironic because I was headed towards a heart attack or a stroke and diabetes, all kinds of stuff. And now I'm not. So in a way, the coronavirus saved my life.
Oh my God. That's so inspiring. Yeah. That's exciting.
Now, the other thing I wanted to do, I wanted to have something else to show for the time we're in the pandemic. I decided I would create a cinematic EDM library for music and film and TV that would have a lot of EDM sonics and sensibilities, but I would inject a cinematic presence and feel to this music. And then I can go and get it placed in film and TV. Which both pays well, is great exposure for your music, and is just disgustingly satisfying.
Well, you know. So, and I'm like so fortunate because I've been very, like, since I met you, you've been sending me these amazing before and afters, and I can't even believe it. It's like our resonance, the very first before you sent me, I was like, shut the front door. How did Joe, in such a short period of time from our talks, realize maybe the kind of movie or vision I have maybe 5 years out of what I want to co-create for the world that's, you know, I'm doing what I need to do. But the music that you sent me was so next worldly and it was so inspiring and amazing. So I just want to say, like, I'm excited for everything new. I'm like a fan of Joe Solo. I'm excited about you as a person and your desire to help others. I'm excited about the creativity and I'm really excited about this, the Hollywood Creative Academy and everything that's sort of, I've been really fortunate. I met your business partner, Matt Coleman, over a year ago now. And with some of the shows I've done, I was able to, you know, mention and say, I think, you know, Matt Sarafa, Simon Adeline should be a part. So for me, it's gratifying that bridge of the different modalities of the ways we're being creative. But mm-hmm. I'm in the moment of now, like when I hear you and I think, oh my gosh, what's Joe going to do tomorrow on his walk? Like, not only are you walking, you're creating.
Thing yet is that while I'm taking these 10 to 15 mile walks, I have some really great apps on my phone for music production. I got a couple custom ones too. I made a couple custom modifications myself, and I'm able to produce these cinematic EDM tracks while I'm walking. So it keeps, because there's something about moving, whether you're driving or walking or just
yes.
the constant changing of the background and motion that helps you get in and stay in flow.
Yes. And
once you get in that groove, well, I would be like composing all this stuff on my phone. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but the modern phone is basically a tiny computer and a portable studio. And if you know orchestration and arrangement well, and you're tuned into modern styles, you can do this stuff in almost any computer setting. So I decided to do it while I was walking. And by having the constant changing of the scenery, it's like you get in this groove. And next thing you know, it's like you've walked 7 miles and it seems like it was just a second ago you started. And
I understand. Because I am always taking pictures of myself like by the pool, because that's actually where all the magic happens for me. I'm there as a doctor, I'm a mother, I'm a producer, I'm a host, but I come up with ideas and I see things like in Venn right. diagrams. So I might see things five years out, but then I do the work to make it happen. And I might come up with an idea for an arrangement. We're working on some music. I'm also doing different shows and different orders. I'm like, oh my God, shut the front door. Are you kidding me? This person. So these, when we're in this space, everyone, you know, of awareness, when you're doing a moving meditation, whatever that is for you, life could become the meditation. So Joe's describing this process of health, holistic health, fitness, weight loss, but his creativity level is hitting the roof because he's in optimal well-being.
Oh, yeah.
And you're also outside, so you're also in nature. So it's like you lose yourself to something bigger. I know you've described, I want to thank you because we've described the process of you today in the show working with, you know, other artists. You've talked about resiliency and what it takes. We've honored your father and our ancestors. And then you're also telling everyone it's hard work and that we're not perfect and that we need to work on our not only our health, but also our continued every day is the moment of now of our own, like you said, our own personal best. So thank you for all these like tips and tools today. Is there anything else you want to say, like shout out about Hollywood Creative Academy or anything else?
Yeah. So I would just, to inspire people to check out Hollywood Creative Academy. And also if they want to get some music industry tips emailed to them every week on my website, joesolo.com, they can sign up and those are free. It all happens on automatic once you sign up. But also at Hollywood Creative Academy, I think in whatever endeavor you set out, a good question to ask yourself is what is it I don't know I don't know? Now, there's no way to actually answer that yourself, but you have to acknowledge the concept that there are things you don't know that you need to know to be successful in the industry. So that's where Hollywood Creative Academy stands on its own, because it's mentoring and training with where things currently are in these industries, where the thinking is headed.
Can I tell you my term for that?
Sure.
The pulse of consciousness, everyone.
Boom.
Boom, bada bing, right now.
The pulse of consciousness.
The pulse of consciousness.
That would be a good song title too, by
the way. Well, let's do it. I'm all there. It's going to take us 150 hours or maybe 200 with me because...
that's not writing the song. That's just creating the master of the song.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
You know, lots of play.
So no, but the Hollywood Creative Academy, it's so exciting. It's so exciting that this is happening and evolving. So you're going to give us the links to everything in the bio that's going to be attached to this.
Sure.
Is there any other ways that people can reach you? You said that Joe Solo, your website. Where else can people find you?
I have an IG account. It's just at Joe Solo, and the number one, because there's another Joe Solo musician out there from England who got to it first. Anyway, the Instagram account is another good way, you know, to contact me. And I just want to say that if there's any single takeaway from this podcast that you folks are listening to right now that I want you to keep and remember just for the rest of your lives is don't quit ever. Persistence pays.
That is my sacred pause and gratitude. Thank you so much, Joe. It's an honor having you, and I look forward to many more endeavors with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lots of fun.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.